Welcome to another episode of Behind the Headlines, where we feature experts and journalists discussing a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, a senior producer for Lee and your host. In this latest episode, Patrick Wilson, a reporter for Lee Enterprises' public service journalism team, talks about his reporting on the Virginia State Police. After spending at least $1.6 million over a decade for the purpose of recruiting minority troopers, the percentage of sworn black employees of the Virginia State Police dropped, according to department data. Black troopers made up 10% of the department in 2013. Today, that figure is 9%. We discuss the data and more details included in the story. Welcome, Patrick, and thank you for joining the program.
Thank you, Terry.
Can you provide a little background into your journalism career?
I have worked in mostly daily print journalism in Virginia and North Carolina before joining the Lee Enterprises public service journalism team. I was a state government reporter at the Richmond Times-Dispatch and also state government reporter before that at the Virginian Pilot newspaper, and have covered police, courts, local government throughout my career, and also done a little bit of multimedia work over the years as well.
So speaking of covering police within your career, you're currently working on a story about the Virginia State Police for the public service journalism team at Lee Enterprises. Can you talk a little bit about that? Just give us a brief overview of what that story is about.
This story relates to the lack of racial diversity within the Virginia State Police. And within the Virginia state budget, the legislature has appropriated $100,000 every year going back to around 2008, specifically for the purpose of Virginia State Police hiring diverse troopers. And they've made tiny progress, but with Latino and Asian hiring in recent years, but with hiring of African Americans, it's actually gotten worse. In the last 10 years, the percentage of black troopers within the Virginia State Police has dropped from 10% of the agency to 9%. So it's actually got a little bit worse. They do recruit at college job fairs, and you know, they've spent this money in attempts at recruiting, but there's a survey that was done in 2022 for the state police where troopers and employees were granted anonymity, and there were a lot of concerns expressed within that survey about what was described as a good old boy network, where the people getting promoted are have a connection, and the process isn't fair. So the story is taking a look at the lack of diversity, why that is, and what people think about it.
What does the makeup of applicants look like? Is the Virginia State Police not getting a diverse number of applicants, or is something happening between the application process and what the graduating class actually looks like?
Virginia State Police do get a large number of minority applicants. We asked for the data on that, and it shows that they're getting a lot of minority applicants. The acceptance rate to their training academies for minorities is a lot lower than it is for white people.
Have you gotten any responses as to why the graduating class looks so different? Any insight into that?
Generally speaking, yeah, I've heard police complain about since the murder of George Floyd, more difficulties in recruiting across the board, that the police feel like they're under fire and under public pressure, and that the perception of the public of policing has changed from what it was, and that's made it even more difficult to recruit. But with this, particular set of data with Virginia State Police, we're looking before 2020, and this is not a new problem as far as the lack of diverse recruitment. Yeah, I think a lot of the answer to that is that it's a cultural situation. The Virginia State Police have traditionally been not diverse at all. And in the 70s, there were times where out of hundreds of people, there were just like two black men were state troopers out of many hundreds. You know, so changing that has been a very slow process for them. And you know, governors in Virginia come and go every 4 years. They can only serve one term. So sometimes a governor will talk about, let's work on this problem or let's address this. But like a lot of issues, by the time a governor gets in place and gets a feel for how things work, they've moved on. You know, their term is over. So I've also heard some concern about, you know, why didn't some of Virginia's governors try to fix this problem?
What does the makeup of the leadership at the state police look like? Does it equally lack diversity?
Yeah, the leadership of Virginia State Police is even more lacking in diversity than the department as a whole. Most of the command staff of the state police are white men. Right now, the superintendent is white. The deputy superintendent is white. The four people under the deputy superintendent who are bureau directors are all white. And then under that, there are eight people at the rank of major. Seven of those eight are white. And most of these people are men. So there's a state law in Virginia that says the state police cannot hire people from outside of their department. So unlike, you know, maybe in a big city where you'll see the mayor hire a police chief from another city, the Virginia State Police can't hire a superintendent or a deputy superintendent or a lieutenant from somewhere else who's a person of color. They have to promote from within. And the diversity within is so bad, it may be a while before that changes. So another example that we saw in the data was that of the people at the rank of lieutenant within the agency statewide, 54 of 55 lieutenants are white and one was Latino.
So this could be, this could take a really long time to correct over years, because if you're looking at how do you improve diversity at the top levels of leadership, then it really does start at the recruitment process. And if you can't bring in a more diverse class, then it hurts you down the line then.
I think that's a fair observation, that it may be a while before this changes. And I have not heard discussion of, you know, changing this law, but I believe there are other agencies that have in Virginia state government that employ law enforcement officers, and they don't have this type of restriction on their hiring.
In your story, you have a case of a master trooper named Philip Diamond. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of your reporting?
Philip Diamond was a master trooper with the state police who had been there for about 27 years. And in 2017, he arrived at a district office outside Richmond on a normal workday. And Philip Diamond is black. He overheard three white troopers talking in an adjacent room. One of those was a first sergeant and the other two were troopers. And the first sergeant was talking about another trooper applying for an open sergeant position that Diamond himself had actually just applied for, but nobody knew it yet. And Diamond overheard the supervisor making favorable comments about this other trooper who happened to be white. And Diamond is thinking, wow, that trooper's been on the force, I think about 6 years or so. And I have a 4-year degree. I don't think he has a 4-year degree. This is interesting. So then Diamond goes into the room and says to the supervisor, oh, so I hear so-and-so is going to apply for the open job. And the supervisor says, yeah, he is. And I'm going to do everything I can to help him get promoted. So later when Diamond went through the interview process, that same sergeant was on the interview panel. And Diamond was not the only black candidate for the job. There was actually another police sergeant who was black who wanted to transfer to the area. And to do that, he had to go through the promotion process. And in the end, the department chose the white trooper that initially Diamond had overheard the conversation about, the one with less experience and the one that he did not understand to have a 4-year degree. And Diamond made a complaint to a captain about that.
And he ultimately decided to leave the force too, correct?
He told me that he decided to retire over this issue, and he now works for a federal agency.
There's another interview you had with Eric Branch, and we have audio of that. So we're gonna go to that, but can you talk a little bit about his situation?
Eric actually reached out to me in 2022 when he had obtained some diversity data from the Virginia State Police through a Freedom of Information Act request. And Eric's interest was that he had applied to be a state trooper, but had been rejected. His background was that he had been convicted of nonviolent felonies in 1989 connected to a break-in in a rural county near Richmond, and he served 5 years in prison. He later got his right to vote restored, his right to own a firearm restored, and the voting right was restored by a former governor at the time, Terry McAuliffe. His right to own a firearm was restored by a judge. And so he had a friend in the state police and wanted to apply to be a police officer. He had worked for years in local government, but wanted to be a police officer and liked the state police. And he told me that he had been encouraged, you know, by a number of people to go through the process, and including, you know, some of the people within the state police. And so he took a written test and a physical test, and he passed both of those. And then he got word that he couldn't be hired because he wasn't able to own a firearm. And he said, well, actually, I can own a firearm. I've got a judge's order, you know, granting my right to do that. And the Virginia State Police processed it even. You all have record of this. So that was off the table. And so eventually, this was in 2019, you know, so his felony sentencing had been 30 years earlier. Eventually, he got a letter or email from an HR administrator saying, we can't hire you and you're not eligible for future employment. So, you know, Eric Branch is Black. He feels like had he been able to work as a trooper in the state police, he would have been able to help, you know, be a community liaison for people, to kind of illustrate to people, like, here's where I used to be. You know, I got, this was my past life, but look what I do now. And he's disappointed in it to this day. He had, at his house, somebody had given him a picture of the headquarters of state police. He still had the picture in a cabinet. And he said, I don't really know what to do with this. So he just keeps it, you know, he saved all of his documentation and whatnot. And, I think, you know, his concern was he's observing, you know, the lack of diversity. He himself was rejected, and he knows the reason why. They just would never say it. You know, that was the previous felony convictions. And then he's also, you know, noticed there's been cases in the news this year in which a number of Virginia State Police troopers have been arrested for a variety of criminal activity, and that gets publicized in the media. And most, if not all, of these arrests this year have been of troopers who are white men. So, you know, it's just something that for Eric Branch, he kind of sees that and thinks, well, how did that person get hired, you know, if they were, you know, if they ended up committing a crime? And you know, feels like there's a racial disparity there in the hiring.
So we're going to go ahead and now listen to Eric Branch.
Tell me what happened when you applied to be a state trooper a few years ago. Walk me through what happened with that process.
Went through the process of becoming a state trooper and successfully passed the written and the physical fitness test part of the test. Then I was submitted to what was called a PHQ assessment and successfully did all of that and ended up getting a letter from state police administration saying that initially they tried to say that I couldn't pursue or continue the process because I didn't have my gun rights. I was pardoned by Governor Terry McAuliffe and my rights was restored. On the day of testing, when it was doing the vetting process, a special investigator Ed Heisman was made aware of everything, and he gave me his permission to continue on through the process of becoming a candidate for state trooper.
So just to go back on that real quick, you had had a previous felony conviction, and tell me what happened with that, and then you had served your time, and what happened with Governor McAuliffe after that?
So basically, I was pardoned through a simple pardon process by Governor Terry McAuliffe, and I had the blessings of them to go forth, you know, to pursue this position as a state trooper. And so thinking that with this pardon that everything was going to be okay. So went through the process, did everything I needed to do, and then subsequently later was told that I couldn't continue through the process because I didn't have my rights to carry a gun. So then I later on informed them that I do have a right to carry a firearm, which was signed by a circuit court judge in Chesterfield County. And once they were made aware of that, they changed their story and tried to backtrack on the issue of me pursuing going forward with the process. And then on several occasions requested a meeting, and I was told by lead investigator Ed Heisman that I could not have a meeting or they would not have any further discussion in regards to the process of what I just went through. I felt like after being subjected to a rigorous process such as that to become a candidate for state trooper and successfully completing everything, I was never given an answer. And then I began to look at the diverse, you know, the disparate treatment of troopers within the agency, and looking at the fact that they did not have Black leadership nowhere throughout different rank and file. They had one Black lieutenant colonel. They had one Black captain at the time. But when you look at a lot of the ranks, you know, they had quite a few sergeants, but even sergeants, I was told, being passed over for promotion to first sergeants. And just having seeing a lot of things that were just not right within state police, not only what was done to me, but just knowing and doing some research and learning, you know, since they came from DMV, that the whole leadership has always been of white ethnicity. When I was working with Governor Terry McAuliffe, I began to have a conversation with him about making changes when he was running for governor again to see about looking at state police and making changes over there. And he assured me that that was something that he was going to look at once he became governor again when he was running against Youngkin. But being that it never happened, we are where we are today when it comes to the same old process of what's going on in state police even to today.
Did the state police ever give you an explanation as to why they didn't want to hire you or would not hire you?
No, they didn't. I mean, it's just that that's the thing that appalled me, is the fact that I went through this process, did everything I needed to do, but no one never gave me an explanation as to why. And so with that, I just began to look at things that, again, like I said earlier, that was going on within the state police as to, you know, why the disparate treatment and so forth, and, you know, they not promoting Blacks within the agency.
Several governors have, you know, the come and gone over the years, and I think you had hoped that some of them would address diversity at the state police, but you feel they haven't done so, is that right?
None whatsoever. I mean, when you look at the records, and it speaks for itself, you know, the record of state police and the numbers, when I had the report pool that shows the rank and file from the top to the bottom, it was appalling. I mean, even I had meetings with lawmakers, and they were appalled at the numbers of you know, Blacks being promoted, even women or, you know, or any other nationality. You have more whites within that agency. The numbers are astounding when it comes to them, but when it comes to African Americans or, you know, Latino or what have you, the numbers are at the very bottom.
And you just heard from Eric Branch. Thank you, Patrick, for joining in. It's an interesting story, and hope to see more of this in the future.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this latest episode of Behind the Headlines. You can find us on every podcast platform, and we'd love it if you could take a moment to subscribe and leave a review. Finally, if you appreciate what we're doing with this program, we encourage you to invest in local journalism by supporting the newspaper in your community. I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you so much for listening to Behind the Headlines from Lee Enterprises.